Good evening. This is Saturday evening. I'm waiting for FedEx to deliver a package. And while I'm waiting, I decided, why not? Let's make this talk. The chapter is Chapter 4, Your True Identity, in this marvelous book, Spiritual Power of Truth. And this is a chapter all about impersonalizing. Now, we are told in The Infinite Way to impersonalize and nothingize, and we read a little bit about it, a couple of paragraphs, and say to ourselves, what is that? How do I do that? Well, by the end of this chapter, you will know exactly what to do. Now, whether you decide to take up the principles and do it is another story. He begins with, when you are realizing someone's true identity, you are realizing their oneness with their source. And this is the reason not to give them a treatment. Save yourself from being a malpractitioner. Because unless you are seeing them as they really are, you are malpracticing them. Malpractice acts as a boomerang. It goes out from us and eventually hits nothing because it's only aimed at our concept of somebody, not at that somebody. Not all malpractice is malicious. Not all malpractice is intended to harm anyone. But unless you are seeing everybody, even your enemies, as this is the meaning of prayer. As one with God, joint heir, unless you are seeing that self with a capital S as the true identity of everyone, then you are malpracticing. All right, so this is the true meaning of prayer, which means when you are asked to pray for your enemies, you are not sitting down and praying that terrorists succeed. You are not sitting down and praying that the Western world defeats them. You are sitting down and praying, recognizing, realizing, getting the feel for the one self. And that is praying for your enemy. The truth is, we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all offspring of God. None of us have human fathers. We have but one father. The relationship of a human father has no relationship to the word father at all. No, I recognize that the man who was my dad was really my brother. I have but one father, and that is the presence I feel when I think or say father. There is but one father in this universe, and that is God. All the rest of us are offspring of that one divine principle. And we are malpracticing when we do not recognize this truth. Well, that's pretty heavy duty there, isn't it? You get in your car. You drive to wherever you're going. On the way, somebody cuts you off. You slam on the brakes, you miss them. But for a moment, you're not thinking, this is the one divine principle. hopefully, you catch yourself after you say, hey. And then remind yourself, wait a minute, I'm not going to malpractice them or myself. There's only one self here, the divine self, the one divine principle. Now we have impersonalized our sense of self as applied to myself. We have now impersonalized our sense of self as applied to yourself. We have impersonalized our sense of self as applied to all the people of the world, including our enemies. Just imagine what happens when you sufficiently meditate on this truth, so that you do not recognize any selfhood apart from God. Could you possibly suffer loss or destruction from another if there is no other than God? Can you ever be the victim of injustice, inequality, or any other evil if there is no selfhood other than God? No. You can't. Unless you are looking for your good, for justice, for equality, for mercy, for understanding, for cooperation in the divine self of all being, of every individual, you are looking amiss and you may not find it. We are told you pray amiss. Well, in this case, you are not looking to the divine self of all being, and so you are looking amiss. This is number two. Your concentrated meditation on this subject will eventually bring you to the conscious awareness, the actual conviction, that God constitutes the selfhood of every individual. Be sure that you are recognizing God as that selfhood. Then you will have impersonalized it. This is likewise true in our healing work. The first step in our healing work is impersonalization. And you must understand this. It is a contradiction of all metaphysical practices. The Infinite Way in its healing work is directly opposite to all other metaphysical teachings. Now, that would include such things as science of mind, Christian Science, mental science, unity, new thought, and several others. This is how the Infinite Way is different. Because we do not look within you for the error that is causing your trouble. We do not look to you, your wrong thinking, for the cause. We do not look to the sins for the cause. We do not admit that resentment, jealousy, malice, sensuality, or any of these are causes for your ills. We do not agree that the cause of your illness, or your poverty, or your sin lies within you. So that would eliminate psychology and psychiatry, wouldn't it? We start with the self with a capital S, which impersonalizes you and makes God your selfhood. Therefore, divine qualities are the only qualities of your being. Therefore, there is no sin in you, nor is there any effect of sin in you, nor is there any disease in you. Nor is there any cause of disease in you. Rather, all evil which seems to be manifesting through you is recognized as impersonal, as being no part of you. It's impersonal. It's no part of you. No part of the person, since God is your being. Even your body is the temple of God. Therefore, this evil cannot be in you, or in your soul, or in your mind, or in your being, or in your body. Where is it then? Where is this evil? It is in an impersonal belief in mortality, in mortal selfhood, in a sense of separation from God, which you aren't. You aren't separate from God. You are one with God. Therefore, we can give the commonly known names of devil, carnal mind, or mortal mind to this impersonal source of evil. And the moment we have done that, we have separated it from you. Yeah, this is not you. This is mortal mind, impersonal, without a person. The moment we believe that your wrong thinking, or your wrong doing, or your wrong mother or father are responsible for your ills, we have personalized the whole thing, placed it in you, and made it virtually impossible to get it out. The wrongdoing of your mother or father would be heredity. Well, my whole family has arthritis. My whole family has bursitis. My whole family has this or that. If in our healing work we recognize that God constitutes your being, and therefore this evil, regardless of its name or nature, is but this impersonal mortal mind, the universal belief in two powers, this universal belief in a selfhood apart from God, then we have impersonalized it. So what has he said? He has said, where is this evil? Well, we have to begin our meditation with impersonalizing this evil. And we have to recognize and realize our oneness with God. So we start with ourself with a capital S, and then we impersonalize. We recognize that God constitutes your being, and therefore this evil, regardless of its name or nature, is impersonal mortal mind. We have, in more than half the cases, brought about the healing. And in the other half, we will bring about healing if only we will stick to this principle faithfully and persistently until we have overcome the belief within ourselves that there is anyone separate and apart from God. So we have to stick to these meditations persistently and faithfully until we have overcome the belief that there's any other self other than capital S self, one with God. Your demonstration consists of the ability to impersonalize, and that means that regardless of who it may be that you think is ungrateful to you, unjust to you, immoral to you, neglectful of you, you must reverse this instantly and realize you have been guilty of malpractice. You have been guilty of seeing God's child as if you were a sinner. So let's just cut in right here and ask this question. If somebody is unfair to you, who needs prayer? Not them. Because on the one hand, you're only seeing a concept. And on the other hand, the only one that's there is the self, called God. So who needs prayer? You do. You do. In order to recognize and realize that oneself and the impersonal nature of that which is appearing to be unfair. So, you have been guilty of seeing God's child as if he were a sinner. God's child as if he were ungrateful, unlawful, unmerciful. And you must begin to realize God as the selfhood of individual being, thereby impersonalizing the whole situation. Since this mortal mind isn't a person and hasn't a person in whom or through or upon whom to operate, it becomes nothingness when you impersonalize it. You see that? You understand that? That's the secret to the whole thing. You remember Joel said he studied the life of Buddha, and Buddha asked the question, I must find a way of removing death, disease, lack, limitation from the world. And Joel says that gave him the answer to the whole thing, and he snaps his fingers. That's what you're doing when you impersonalize. You're taking it out of the world. You're taking it out of the person and impersonalizing. Begin to agree that you have not done this unto me because there is no me separate and apart from God. I have no selfhood except for the capital S selfhood. Therefore, you have not aimed this at me. You've aimed it at God. You will find that you have impersonalized yourself, and any human error that is aimed at you will not strike you. Then remember that those who aim evil in your direction are really not aiming it at all. They are merely instruments through which the mortal mind is operating. You will thereby more than likely release them from their sin and bring about their forgiveness. Hence, praying for your enemies can bring about their forgiveness. We want to go higher than seeking revenge upon someone. We want to see those who do evil to us forgiven, released from whatever evil is grasping them. So the safe way is, if in your experience there is any ingratitude aimed at you, or any lack of mercy or injustice, realize, first of all, your capital S self, and then realize, this is really not aimed at me at all. This is aimed at God. Also, realize that it isn't even people. It's not even a person who is aiming it. They are merely the innocent victims, ignorant victims of the mortal mind, of the ignorance shown in Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You will have nullified this mortal mind, since it is devoid of persons, in whom, on whom, or as whom, or at whom, to operate, and you'll find how quickly you will come into your freedom, a joyous freedom. Now, if you've ever suffered injustice or abuse of one form or another from someone, you know how hard it is to carry it with you and walk around with that on your back, the anger, the resentment, the fuming. It just gets so heavy. It gets so tiring. This is the way to a joyous freedom in which no one is there because you've impersonalized. No one is there to forgive. There's only the one self, capital S, which is God being. This is the way to a joyous freedom, says Joel. You are free when you are living in a world where no one has anything against you. If there does seem to be anyone, you've now recognized that it isn't personal. It's an impersonal source, which is really not a power. You must see that this act of impersonalization is a conscious one. Yes, you have to sit down and meditate. Consciously. Consciously impersonalize. It will eventually explain to you why you could sit around from now until doomsday praying for God for something and it wouldn't come. Or you could sit around from now to the end of time praying for justice, praying for cooperation or gratitude, and not get it. In other words, good can only come into your experience through an act of your own consciousness. There is no outside God to see that you get mercy or justice or kindness. Every week, a group of the most wonderful, unselfish individuals bring about the release of some man or some woman from prison who has been sentenced to life imprisonment or to death, who at the time of their sentence was innocent of the crime. They managed to find not fewer than 52 of these people in prison every year. And don't you know what they and their relatives were all praying for? Justice when the sentence was passed, for life imprisonment or the death penalty, though they were innocent of the crime. You ask, what good were these prayers? The answer is none. Because that type of praying is not prayer. So begin in your meditations, that's three, to impersonalize the evils of this world and begin to know that you are not the source of evil to anyone. This is because God constitutes the selfhood of your being, and no one else is the avenue or channel of evil towards you. For God constitutes their selfhood. Any evil apparent in your world is a product of a universal thing called mortal mind, which in and of itself is nothing, until you give it a person in whom, on whom, or through whom to operate. See, you give it the person. Now this again brings us back to the truth that you live in your own consciousness. If there's injustice and no cooperation and evil people, you are malpracticing. And you may not even be seeing these evil people. You may be seeing good people. This good person, that good person. Maybe you're even using affirmations, how this person is good and only good. When you open the door to one opposite, you open the door to both opposites. Now you have four or five evil people that seem to be trying to get something from you, or whatever it is they're doing. And what does he say you should do? Begin in your meditations to impersonalize the evils. Begin to know that you are not the source of evil to anyone else. God constitutes the selfhood of your being, and no one else is the avenue or channel of evil towards you, for God constitutes their selfhood also. Any evil apparent in your world is the product of mortal mind, which in and of itself is nothing until you give it a person. You see, the responsibility is upon your shoulders, because the Master said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But he doesn't say the truth will make you free without your knowing the truth. It's going to involve some practice, some sitting down and meditating. All harmony and success in life are up to you. And to sow to the Spirit means to impersonalize to the extent that you realize God as the true identity of every human, every animal, every plant. Spirit is the truth. This is a spiritual universe. Once you begin to perceive that there is only one life, and that God is the life of the human, the animal, the vegetable, and the mineral, you will find all life flowing joyously to you. There's only one soul in this universe. There is only one being in this universe. God is the life of all of us, and the life of God doesn't end with the human being. The life of God is infinite. Therefore, the life of God is the life of you and of me, and of the animals, and of the vegetables, and of the minerals. God constitutes the life of all that lives and breathes. Even the rocks and the stones are living things. They are not inanimate as they appear to be. They are living things, and they breathe, and God is the breath of their being. This, too, you see, is impersonalizing. It is really making God the divine self, the self of you and of me, of her and him and it. So think of that the next time you take a walk along a riverbed, and you see all the stones that have been smoothed out from the running water. Those rocks are breathing, and God is the breath of their being. That's just lovely, isn't it? As we meditate on this, that's four, day in and day out, its truth begins to unfold from within us, within ourselves, and we gain the conviction of it. I can give to most of you, I might say to all of you, the letter of truth, and to some of you convey even the very spirit or consciousness of it. But for most of you, it will be necessary to meditate. Ponder this, that's five. Ponder this until something wells up within you and says, this really is true. This is the truth of being. God does constitute my selfhood. Therefore, my selfhood is not subject to weather or climate or hate or envy or jealousy or wrong thinking. My selfhood is intact in God. My selfhood is intact in its immortality. It is not subject to the beliefs of mankind. It is not subject to the beliefs of mortality. My selfhood does not age. My selfhood does not change. My selfhood is divine, immortal being, God. Yes, let's be awfully quick the very moment we catch the realization that this is true about us. And let us immediately turn to every member of our household, and then widen that circle until we have taken in the entire world. It is realized that God constitutes individual being. Then you will see that there is no selfhood but God. For this reason, then, we do not pin error onto any individual, not even ourselves. So quit doing that. Quit thinking I'm this or I'm that or I'm the other. Don't pin that onto yourself. Impersonalize yourself. Wait a minute, that's not me. That's mortal mind. I am this one self, this divine self, this immortal self. Father. We do not claim that our jealousy, our envy, our greed, our lust is responsible for our ills, because we haven't any such qualities. Any such qualities that may be temporarily expressing themselves through us must be recognized as having their source in the impersonal mortal mind. Not only is this principle of impersonalization one of the most important in our work, but you must work doubly hard to embody it in your consciousness, because you will not find it except in this infinite way literature. You will not find it in your experience either until you make it your own. You have to make it your own. You have to take it into meditation over and 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 make it your consciousness. So much so that one day you're stepping into a restaurant and someone drops a cup or a glass or a plate and it goes crashing to the floor, and you look, and the person's really shook up. They made a mistake, and they know it. And something within you says, this is not a person. That's a concept. Only God is here. And you smile, and you feel the presence, and you realize, it's practicing me. You must work doubly hard to embody it in your consciousness. You will see why we do not use the name of the patient in our treatments. You will see why we never say you in a treatment, or he, or she, or it. You will see why we never say to a patient, you must be more loving, or you must be more generous, or you must be more patient. Why? We merely present the principles of being. And so when giving a treatment, how can I treat you, a person, for something when I know there is no you except the God self, which is you? This is a hard chapter to assimilate, to practice, to grow into. But it must be done. This is the half of the equation that we've been missing. We say, well, I experience the presence and good things happen, but I'm still having this evil. Or somebody is asking for help and I'm not able to help them. What am I missing? This is your answer. You're missing impersonalization. And so you've got to practice, practice, practice. Our work is to free ourselves from universal mortal mind. I know that you do understand this, but I give it to you because you will have an occasion every single day of your life to remember what I am saying to you. The temptation in our work is to try to improve the human scene. That's one of the wisdoms from the very first book in The Infinite Way. God is not in the human scene. If you really understood the significance of this statement, you could lay down your life and pick it up again at will. And so here he says, the temptation is to try to improve the human scene. We see a sick person, and our first normal reaction is to want to see them well. We see an unemployed person, and the very first thought is how we can bring about employment. We see a poor person, and the first thing that comes to us is how to bring supply to them. We see an unhappy person, and our first thought is how to bring happiness to them. If we persist in that, we will fail. We will fail in our ministry. We will fail in our meditation. It is for this reason that even though you perceive what I am saying to you now, you will be under the same temptation tomorrow to violate it, and the same the next day. And you will never outgrow it. Never. Unto the end of your days on earth will you overcome the automatic, unconscious temptation at least once in a while giving a treatment to change the appearance into its opposite. That was natural, undoubtedly, to Jesus Christ, or he would not have had to go away for 40 days to the mountaintop to renew himself. He would not have had to go away from his disciples every once in a while to renew himself, because the only renewal that we ever need is to break the hypnotism, the mesmerism of appearances. That is the only reason we ever have to pray. That is the only reason we have to commune. That is the only reason we ever have to go away to be still. There is no other reason. We are still mesmerized to some degree with good humanhood. We are not easily tempted into the bad side of humanhood. But we are easily tempted toward the good side of humanhood. Of course, the good side of humanhood is only the opposite of the bad side. And in the end, it can be just as bad as the bad side. So it is. First of all, when we sit down to help ourselves or others, this is now number 6, our realization, or one of our realizations, must be, I am not trying to change sick matter into healthy matter. Now that's what he said at the end of the chapter, what did hinder you in the art of spiritual healing. He sits down and he reminds himself, I'm not trying to change this bad into good. I am not trying to change a little matter into a lot of matter. I am not trying to make unhappy people happy. My aim in this meditation is to realize, behold, and demonstrate the Christ. In other words, demonstrate the Christhood of your being, of my being, his being, her being. We are never attempting to draw something to us or force something away from us. Our entire ministry is Christ realization. So we're not trying to draw supply to us. We're not trying to force away disease. Our entire ministry is to realize Christ, the one self. Now you and your true identity, the true identity of all, is the Christ, the offspring of God. There's nothing that you or I can do to make it so. It already is so. Christ is, God is, I am. God already is the life of individual being. God already is the soul and the spirit and the mind. God already is the integrity of every individual. That was established in the beginning before Abraham was. However, it is not manifest, it's not visible, until one with God is a majority. Until one individual can sit in silence, that's seven, sit in silence and realize the Christ, spiritual identity, true identity. You will only realize or understand or feel Christ. Christ is really what you and I are incorporeally, a state of divine consciousness. That is what we are. Looking out through the eyes, we behold a finite concept, a limited concept, a material concept of that which actually is. And so there it is again. You are standing in your divine self. Your enemy is standing in the divine self. There's one divine self, and it's God. But you don't see God. You see a material concept. You've got to take the material concept out of the world, really. This is not a person. This is impersonal mortal mind. Only God is here. The impersonal one self. So, we look out with our eyesight, which means with our limited finite senses, and we are looking at God's masterpiece, you. That's God's masterpiece, his own offspring of his own being, his own self made and individually manifest. Now, beholding it without spiritual appreciation or comprehension, we say, isn't this worthless? Do you see that? Now, with your eyes closed to all appearances, realize. That's now number eight. He's not saying meditate, but that's what he means. Now, with your eyes closed to all appearances, realize that it makes no difference who has called you for help. It could be someone with the deepest sins, for all we know, or someone in a physical distortion beyond description. But with the eyes closed, remember, Father, I'm not trying to change this picture. Give me thy grace to behold him as he is. Or I like to say, what is really here? Reveal thyself. Awaken me out of this mesmeric dream, so that I do not judge by appearances. Let me see him as he is, and I will be satisfied with this likeness. Here, indeed, is the Christ of God, the very spiritual offspring of divinity. Grant me thy grace that I may see him as he is, that I may see this situation as it is. Reveal Christ where there seems to be a human being. Then, as you sit in the silence, waiting, the Spirit of God touches you and illuminates you, inspires you, and for a brief, fleeting second, it is almost as if you could see or touch reality. Sometimes even smell it. For sometimes in this deep meditation of realization, the whole room is filled with the perfume of flowers. There may not be a flower within a mile of you, but the entire room is bathed in a perfume of flowers. The Spirit of God may also come as music that has no earthly tongues. It makes no difference how it comes. It may come as a light, or it may come as a deep breath. Whichever way it comes, if you have been clear that what you are seeking is not changing a human being from bad to good, or poor to rich, or unemployed to employed, or sick to well, but rather beholding divinity instead of humanhood, then sooner or later the experience will come to you. It may only be momentary, but in that momentary flash, your patient will be improved, benefited, healed, employed, enriched, whatever the situation demands. All right, so we are to impersonalize. Well, he does it the opposite. He recognizes the self, the one self, as God's presence, God's being. And then he sees the evil as impersonal, mortal mind having no power. And then he waits. I do it the other way. I see the evil person as impersonal mortal mind, a concept. It's a nothingness, and I drop it. Then I recognize and realize only the Spirit of God is present. Only the presence is Spirit. And I wait. I wait until there's that inner movement. Certainly there are those instances where the fullness of the healing does not appear in that one realization, no matter how deep it may be, and you may be called upon to do it twice, or 10, or even 100 times. It's because the opacity may lie with your patient or student, in that before they can experience the harmony, there must be a change of consciousness, which is to be outwardly pictured as the harmony. Always remember, we are not healers of the body. We do not change the body at all. Our work changes the consciousness of an individual, and the changed consciousness appears outwardly as harmony, as health, as supply, as companionship, whatever the need may be. All right. That was a very deep chapter, and there's a lot of meat. There's a lot to do. And you can do it either way. You can start with God, like he does, and end on releasing, impersonalizing, and nothingizing the appearance. Or you can start with impersonalizing and nothingizing the appearance and end with a realization of the oneself, God. It really doesn't matter. Both realizations are needed. It takes both, and that's what I started to say before. We come into this work and we end up saying, what am I missing? I'm missing something. And almost always it's because we've tried to just hang on to the spiritual goodness of our realizations of God, and we've left out this step of impersonalizing and nothingizing. And you can't leave it out. If you leave it out, you won't have a healing ministry. You'll have some nice thoughts, you'll have a little peace of mind, but you won't experience the Spirit of God. And you won't experience that Spirit appearing as the harmony without. All right? Does that make sense? All right, let us be still. My cat is bothering me for Primavera. I usually give it to her at 8 o'clock. She starts a little before 7:30. So let us be still and see if there's anything I forgot. I really feel that in this chapter he's gone a long ways toward describing the process. In his book, Realization of Oneness, he describes impersonalizing and nothingizing, but I don't think it is as good or as helpful as this chapter. This chapter tells us 8 times how to meditate. And so it would behoove you to reread those and come up with a meditation that feels right to you and includes the principle of realization of oneness and includes the principle of impersonalizing the person or persons. You impersonalize everyone. Until there's only one. And that one is the divine principle. Capital S Self. God. Blessings. Thank you. Good night.